BBC.
Radio 1.
BBC Radio 1 free downloads. Download them all for free at the Radio 1 website.
On this podcast, 24 years at the tap end. For all you lovers out there, it's a V-Day special. Also a great video which you will want to watch involving Kesha and her forehead. Real or No Real is about the Radio 1 DJs, and Lawrence, off of Loving the Trolls, delivers his verdict on the Brit Awards nominees.
Scott Mills, BBC Radio 1.
I strongly suggest that you follow the at BBC R1 Twitter today, because as part of Access All Areas Month, the live tweeting of the Radio 1 playlist meeting is happening again. This was fun last week.
Do you remember we put a tweet out saying that S Club 7 had been added to the playlist?
They didn't really like that.
Didn't like that.
This time, one of the interns is tweeting from the playlist meeting. Pete, the intern. Is there one called Pete?
There is. Yeah, there is one called Pete.
There's one called Pete.
Yeah.
Have I met him?
Yeah.
He was one of the ones from last week.
Yeah.
There wasn't a Pete.
There was a
He's
Pete.
He's new.
No, there is Pete.
Okay. Yeah.
But right. This is a bit like, you know, in certain boy bands and things like that, you just forget some of them, you forget some of the names, don't you?
You're saying Pete's the forgettable one.
No,
the
I'm
interns.
Not saying that. I'm just saying some names stick in the mind, don't okay. they?
So, imagine you're the intern at Radio 1 and it's your job to live tweet from the playlist meeting, easily the most important meeting of the week, where the Illuminati of the music world get together in a small room and discuss what songs are going to be played on Radio 1 in the following week. This is like the most important meeting in the British music industry. And Pete's in charge.
Pete's tweeting.
The intern. Shall we tweet as well, pretending to be Pete?
We get him in trouble.
Well, I think it starts about now, but they have a cup of coffee and stuff. So what we'll do is we'll wait till Pete starts tweeting, and then we'll kind of get the style that he's writing in, and then just fire a few off. Spice it up a bit.
I like it. It can make it really awkward, isn't
it? Yeah. At BBC R1. It was looking so promising for Pete. And then...
he started tweeting.
Theme tune.
I've boshed banter in Prague. I've dressed up as a Smurf. I've swapped lives with a German. Bought strip pens in France. I've covered teachers in sunscreen. Nearly drowned in some foam. I had a naked massage. Me and my mates had a laugh. I did.
24 years at the top end.
At the tap end.
Wednesday already, which means it's tap end time.
Okay, so it's the last one before Valentine's Day.
Is it a love theme?
So I thought I'd go and do a Valentine's special today. Even though it's tomorrow, I don't want to confuse people.
And it's not on tomorrow, so...
Tap end's not on tomorrow. We can't postpone today's tap end, so I just thought I'd do a Valentine's one today.
I am... the Keening Tower of Pisa.
Very good.
Thank you.
I'm Ho Ho Ho, Keen Giant, which got texted in the other day and I thought it was brilliant.
At least you didn't claim it as your own.
No. So what I'm going to do, it dots around a couple of years, but it's loosely based around when I was about 17.
Okay, cool.
So ready to go?
I am ready.
I'm ready. Valentine's Day has put me through a variety of experiences. Some have been positive, some have been negative, but they have all been character building. My attempt to hand a Valentine's Day card to any member of the Watford FC cheerleading squad that would take it backfired when I fell over the barrier at the front of the rookery stand and was then physically removed from the ground after this act of love was mistaken for a pitch invasion.
I remember this.
We've discussed this one before.
So you weren't fussy about who got the card?
Oh, any of them would have done.
Right.
The Golden Girls were not to be my Valentines that year.
The Golden Girls?
Do you not remember that's what they were called?
Oh, yeah.
But you know different Golden Girls to what I know.
Well, I know the ones off the TV in the 80s.
Right. And
I've got the box set.
I vaguely remember us talking about this before. See, the Golden Girls that I've just typed in on the internet are not the same as the Watford FC cheerleaders.
Have you got a load of pensioners coming up?
I've got lots of old women.
Yes.
Whereas mine were not. The Golden Girls were not to be my Valentines that year. I think I should have made an effort to single one of them out rather than attempt to Valentine's an entire troupe, and especially not the Golden Girls. Another Valentine's Day saw a 17-year-old me go for a drive with a female friend to a well-known local beauty spot or viewpoint. I'd just passed my test, and locally, I bet a large amount of people that pass their driving tests, one of the first trips they make after going through a drive-thru is to this place called Harrow Viewpoint. We were only there as friends, and she was driving, but we both made the schoolboy error of leaving the lights, heater and stereo on, and when it came for us to go, the car wouldn't start.
What were you doing in the car, please?
We were just chilling. It was because we were quite good friends, and we felt a bit rubbish because of Valentine's Day. Hadn't been a successful yield that year.
I like it that you talk about it in business speak. No yield.
I suggested we went up to the viewpoint because it's a good place to chill.
I bet you did. Is it like an American rom-com where, you know, they go up to the Hollywood sign, which you can't actually do, and kind of look out over Hollywood?
It's exactly like that. I mean,
and you're looking at Kilburn.
Yeah, and you can see the planes landing at Heathrow Airport, things like that. But it is an incredible view. It's a strange place, Harrow Viewpoint, though, because in day, incredible view. At night, it looks amazing, but I wouldn't recommend you go to Harrow Viewpoint at night. It all changes. There's a very different atmosphere.
In what way?
just
different type of different crowd.
Lovely place to go in the day. Do you know what I mean? Go there. Take a picnic.
Right.
Nighttime.
Not.
Stay away.
What happens after it goes dark?
Just rumours I've heard.
Oh. What, people in cars?
And out of cars.
Okay.
And moving between cars.
Really?
I've never seen it for myself, but...
Uh-huh.
Stay away at night.
Can I ask, what time were you there?
I think early afternoon. It was summer, so then nights were long, weren't they?
Oh, right, good. Glad it didn't get dark.
But as soon as it hits dark, it's like those zombie films. Get out. You'll have people running at your car, sort of arms outstretched.
Really?
Yeah.
Like slapping their head against the...
Yeah,
against
get
the...
out.
Like 28 days later.
Exactly like that. I've learned that the key with Valentine's Day is to be anonymous, but leave heavy hints. By that, I mean that when sending a Valentine's, if you put your name to it, it seemed to be bad form. Although, you want to leave heavy hints, if possible, to ensure that they know it's from you. Hints could be a clear post stamp on the envelope, something I have insisted on before at the post office, or some kind of riddle.
What, so you go up to them and say, can you make sure you stamp that?
Because there was one occasion where I sent a Valentine's card to a city up north.
Right.
I don't want to narrow it down too much. Leeds. Go on then.
Right.
And because I wasn't going to sign the card so it looked anonymous. But they would have obviously known if there was a clear pinner post stamp on it where it was from.
Mm-hmm.
But what I did is I went to the post office. You know how they can smudge those stamps very easily? I said, I want a very, very clear stamp there, please. So she knows exactly where this post is from.
Did you check they weren't smudged?
And yeah, I made sure it wasn't smudged and then popped it in the postbox. I always leave my mark, though. No. Girls spray the cards with perfume.
What do you spray it with?
No, I don't spray it.
Oh, okay.
I always leave my mark, though, a small smiley face on the bottom of the card. I also do this now on any formal document or signature.
What, leave a smiley face?
Yeah, because I haven't got a signature. On my bank card, it's just my name. Anyone could do it. I shouldn't be saying this.
Good luck, everyone. Just the long number.
But now what I do is I do a sneaky smiley face. I won't describe
on formal documents
exactly how I do this, in case anyone listening is going to clone me or
what,
something.
What, so like on something, maybe like a tenancy agreement for a house?
Signature, and then so it's personal to me, rather than just my name, I have then the small smiley face.
Right.
The beauty of Valentine's Day is that if you are having a poor month, simply claim someone else's Valentine's present. Again, you've got to be quite clever about this. If you are asked by someone if a certain present is from you, you've just got to say maybe, and perhaps wink. I'm not afraid to admit I've done this on two separate occasions.
Can we do this? Sorry, imagine that I've just got a Valentine's card, okay?
So you're a girl.
I'm a girl. Hello, Chris.
Okay.
I'm Millicent.
Hello.
Hello. Do you know, by any chance, who this card might be from?
I don't know at all, Millicent.
Wink. And then you would be suspicious.
Oh. Maybe it's from you.
I couldn't say, Millicent.
Do you wink again?
Can do.
Go on then. Oh, nice.
Oh, no, just God. Do it as much as you can.
Gross.
Make sure they see it. I, however, did have one year where I really liked this girl. She was in the year above me at school, but went to a different school and was a lot cooler than me. Winifred was her name. It
cool
wasn't,
name.
But I'm going to use that to disguise her identity. I think deep down she knew I liked her, but I never really plucked up the courage to tell her. We had become really good friends and would text a fair bit. But we were at that awkward age where she had started going to pubs and meeting older people, and I was in the year below and could never really go out on the same nights as her. I felt a little bit inadequate, but I knew I really liked her. I would spend time with her when I could. She worked in a shop in our area, so me and my mate would often make an excuse to go in and see her. Every now and then, she'd say the odd thing about me, which made me think that she liked me the same way. I did genuinely like this girl, Scott.
Sounds like it, yeah.
When it came around to Valentine's Day, I wanted to show her how much I liked her. I remember it was pouring with rain. I bought her a card and flowers, and my dad drove me round to her house. Oh. I got out and left them on the doorstep. I remember as I ran from the car, I felt proper nervous. I wasn't sure if this was a good idea or if this was something that was going to ruin our friendship. But I did it. And I ran back to the car quickly in case she saw me through the window. I didn't hear from her all day. I didn't want to text her, as even though I wanted her to know they were from me, I wanted to make out that I was anonymous, as it seemed like the right thing to do. But then that afternoon my phone rang, and my heart skipped a bit when I saw it was Winifred. Even though we talked a lot, I knew what it was going to be about. As I said hello, I could hear she was really excited and had something she wanted to tell me. She told me that she had been sent some flowers and she thought she knew who they were from. She thought they were from a guy at her new college and how she hadn't realised that he really liked her.
Oh.
I sat there, gutted, and she asked why I was quiet. A hint of suspicion must have entered her mind because she asked me, almost jokingly, if the flowers were from me. But I couldn't say yes.
Maybe.
I felt embarrassed. No, I didn't do it.
Did you not do maybe and wink down the phone?
No, well, I didn't have that confidence by then. I just felt embarrassed. And also, it's like, she was going on so much about how she liked this other guy.
Oh,
that I sort of felt that I was going to look a bit stupid,
yeah.
Almost, if I said, actually, they're, you know. I couldn't say yes. I felt embarrassed. I spent the whole conversation listening to how good this other guy was and whether she should text him. They ended up seeing each other not too long after that, all because I didn't have the courage to stick up for myself. That single moment ended everything in my mind, and I knew I'd have to move on. But Winifred, if you're listening, the flowers were from me.
In one single moment, your whole life can turn round. I stand there for a minute, staring straight into the ground, looking to the left slightly, then looking back down. World feels like it's caved in, proper sorry frown. Please let me show you how we could only just be for us. I can change and I can grow or we could adjust. The wicked thing about us is we always have trust. We can even have an open relationship if you must. I look at her, she stares almost straight back at me, but her eyes glaze over like she's looking straight through me.
BBC Radio 1, The Scott Mills Daily.
So, you haven't got long, be quick, and you can vote for the award at the Brits, the Radio 1 listeners, that's you, that is, decide the Best British Breakthrough Act. Best British...
Best.
I said breast. The Best British Breakthrough Act at the Brits. The Brits is a week today. So you've not got long to vote. Click on the bit that says how to vote on the Radio 1 website. Now, there are five acts up for this award that you decide. I love them all, some more than others. I'm not allowed to be biased because I've just got to be totally impartial. Like, I'm not allowed to favour one or the other.
You've struggled to hide your feelings, I feel. Like,
well,
you've struggled to keep this under wraps, like exactly what you think. Like, when you were saying them all yesterday, it did. I think it was quite clear which one you favourited.
Do you think? Well,
you've got to be careful.
That's not a problem anymore because I've got Lawrence off of... Loving the Trolls to do it instead. You know, Lawrence, we use his voice to just, you know, put it through all the what the haters are saying every week on Loving the Trolls like this.
Chris Stark, you must be the most stupid person I have ever known of.
We just read out all
why
the texts and emails.
Why don't we just do a general
sent?
One?
24 years of the tap end should be 24 years of being thick.
Cheers.
Yeah. Just a little bit of extra bonus
trolling.
Just use trolling.
A general example, don't you?
And my favourite one of all time...
24 years of the crap end.
To be fair, that is good.
Lawrence hates everything and everyone, so no problem here with, you know, favouritism of any of these acts. Mm. So I'm going to play you a little clip of who you can vote for the best British breakthrough act at the Brits, and Lawrence will tell you who they are. Here we go.
BBC Radio 1.
Ben Howard, Tot Tot, Farm Music. Don't know what the day is holding. Jake Bob, Jake Crap More Like.
Hates everyone.
Alt J, No Bloomin' Way. Jesse Fair, We Don't Care. Rita Ora. Rita Dora, More Like.
BBC Radio 1.
So those are, those are the five you can vote for. Choose which one you want. Head to the Radio 1 website and click on the link.
The Scott Mills Daily.
At the moment, Pete the intern, one of our new interns, is tweeting from the Radio 1 playlist meeting. The most important meeting in the British music industry, and they've let Pete do the tweeting from... from it today. It's a long meeting, but the meeting decides what songs go on Radio 1 for the following week, so it's very important. They're listening to Swim Deep at the moment to see if that goes on the playlist or not, and they've just binned off Kesha. They'll come back to it next week. Can we send a tweet? Because the thing is, Pete's tweeting from the Radio 1 account, but we can also do that, because we have access to it as well.
Yeah, what's lovely about this is I've brilliantly got access to the BBC Radio 1 Twitter. Yeah. So what we can do is, whilst he's live tweeting, is put a tweet out just to make things really awkward for him in that meeting.
Yeah, because they will all see it and it'll come up.
They'll all see it and assume it's Pete. So yeah. If it's like Pete...
Just put... should we say what we're going to put?
No,
they're not listening to us, are they?
Well, we can get some suggestions and put it up.
Okay, cool.
The Scott Mills Daily.
BBC Radio 1.
Right, what's the latest from the Radio 1 playlist meeting? They're live tweeting about all the songs that go on the playlist at Radio 1 in the next week. And we infiltrated it. We also have access to the Twitter. And we put... What did we put?
We put Pete here. I'm so bored. Hoping this finishes up soon. Trying to pass time by imagining everyone here naked.
Yeah, so that happened. Has there been any backlash?
There has. I assume intern Pete is the one who put this. They then put, although now conversation has gone on to how Scott Mills' show is terrible.
Right.
Which I thought was a bit
cheap. Is that their best shot, is it?
But we'll think of something good and I'll put something on there.
Any other suggestions? I quite like the one that's just been sent in by Lauren. I'm Pete. I'm 5. My dad's Bruce Lee. Drives me around in JCB.
That is good.
Yeah, might put that on in a minute. So, we've got a good video for you, which you will enjoy if you can be bothered to go to the Radio 1 Facebook. I suggest you do. I know that we tell you to do this all the time, but this is a good one. So, Kesha came in to see us yesterday. She was also on Call or Delete, as you just heard with Grimmy this morning. Now, this is quite a sketchy video because I filmed it on my phone, but it's worth it. As she came in, she was literally around the corner, and I was like, go on, Chris, go on, do the kiss on the forehead. Do the kiss on the forehead. It comes from a while ago when we were talking about that awkward moment when you greet a girl that you've probably never met before and you don't know whether to go in for one or two kisses. It'll go left
which
or right.
Cheek and all that.
Yeah, it gets awkward. So what you do, this is Chris's idea, is just go for the forehead and plant a kiss right in the centre of the forehead.
Just take control.
Yeah, and it avoids that confusion of, you know, right cheek, left cheek, one or two kisses. We did it to Sheridan Smith before. Now we've done it to an international pop star. And this is a real insight, actually, watching this video, on how we greet pop stars when they come into the studio at Radio 1. My one is weird. I hug her for a bit too long, and then we kind of rock back and forth. And then I'm willing you to do it as well. You can see it in my face.
Oh, you dared me. I mean,
go on.
It was literally as she was coming around the corner.
Do it,
you looked
do
at
it.
Me and went, go on, do it. And I was like, oh, go on.
But you did it, and you can see the video now. Kesha gets it in the forehead. And she didn't know what to do. She's like, okay.
Yeah.
Dude.
It's a great video, though, because it's just on your phone, so it's not the best quality.
No.
But it just makes me laugh.
You have to reach up.
I have to to get her right, because she was avoiding me. She was avoiding the forehead.
Yeah. Forehead kiss. Radio 1 Facebook. Just type Radio 1 on his Facebook, you'll see it. The Scott Mills Daily. Okay, what we're saying on the Twitter now from Pete the intern, because we can tweet as well, pretending to be him.
Just put a tweet up. Should I say it?
Or? Yeah.
Pete here, I'm so bored. Hoping this finishes up soon. Trying to pass time by imagining everyone here naked.
That's good, because it makes it awkward. The whole British music industry are waiting for these tweets to see what goes on the Radio 1 playlist, what songs go on. And, I mean, people write magazine articles about this kind of thing. So,
oh, yeah.
That's just gone up. See how long it takes them to delete it. BBC Radio 1. The Scott Mills Daily. We're doing a lot of mischievous things today. I don't know why. Should we do another tweet from the Radio 1 Twitter from the playlist meeting?
Yeah.
To jazz it up a bit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We haven't done anything since...
Well, I think we need to retaliate to what they said before. So Pete, the intern, one of the new interns at Radio 1, is tweeting from the most important meeting in the British music industry, the Radio 1 playlist meeting. This is the meeting which goes on for like 5 hours, and they talk about the songs that will be played on Radio 1 in the next week or so. So some move off the playlist, some go on, some move up the playlist. It's very exciting.
Mm.
What should we put this time?
What
about saying that the person across like the room from him is hot?
Yeah, I like that.
Just put, these songs are great, but the person opposite me is distracting me. Or say, put. Can we use the word dishy?
I don't know. Would
it's really dishy?
Who just uses put, that now?
I know, that's why it's good.
All right.
It's really dishy. Scott Mills, BBC Radio 1. We've got some interns at Radio 1 at the moment. One of them is Alice. Hi, Alice.
Hi, everybody.
Are you okay?
Yeah.
Now, we've got one of your intern friends, Pete, tweeting, live tweeting from the Radio 1 playlist meeting at the moment.
Yeah.
And is there anything... Because he's threatened to put some pictures of me picking my nose on Twitter. That we're not having that. So is there anything that maybe you know about Pete that we could put out there just to warn him off? Back off, Pete.
I've got a little bit of gossip.
Okay.
Maybe. I know he really, really fancies one of the presenters.
Radio 1 presenter?
Yes, a Radio 1 presenter.
A girl?
A girl.
Well, that doesn't leave you that many options.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
I don't really want to drop him in it.
No, okay. So what we do, because we also have access to the Radio 1 Twitter account, they're still in the playlist meeting. If we can put something about, hi, Pete here, the intern, I really do fancy one of the Radio 1 presenters a lot.
Yeah.
And hopefully that'll, you know, he'll back off.
Back off, Pete.
Back off, Pete. Right, okay. Alice is here. How's your show going, by the way? Because you've got to make a show for Radio 1.
It's in 2 weeks today.
I know.
And actually, a lot's happened today before it was all over the place. But we're settled on a track. It's so exciting. Presenters, I think, are all in, but that's still a secret.
Right.
So, yeah, it's just really, really exciting.
So this is a show that the interns are producing for Radio 1.
Yeah.
And it's on 2 weeks today.
It is. Wow. 7 till 9, the 27th.
It's all coming together.
It is, yeah. Although it's quite a big thing to live up to, Zane Lowe.
I know.
No.
It'll be fine. You've got 2 weeks. Okay, Alice is going to play Real or No Real with us. Thanks for coming in. So a selection of these are real, some of them really not. And they're all about Radio 1 DJs again. Here we go. Real or no real?
Matt Edmondson was a keen young political activist and gave a speech at the 1998 Liberal Democrat Party conference.
You see, I could believe this kind of thing.
Totally yeah. Believe that.
You can a bit.
She's how old would he have been then?
I don't know.
Probably, oh, hang on a minute, that doesn't work. Don't know, about 10.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
I can imagine him in like a little yellow bow tie and like waistcoat.
Yeah.
And he's very, he does this kind of thing. He's very, I think from quite a young age, he's always been, like someone showed me this video earlier of him, I think it's where he rang into like Live and Kicking.
Yes.
And it was because the head of BBC was on there, something like that. And he was basically, he rang in to tell him how good he was and how good his channel was.
He's a very intelligent boy. Yeah. But did he do a speech at the Lib Dem conference when he was a child?
Real.
I'm saying real.
That one is no real.
Oh, you can so imagine it, though.
That's such an intricate lie.
I know. What about this one?
Daniel P. Carter, host of the Radio 1 rock show, wrote McFly's number one single, Stargirl.
Now, remember, this is Dan P. Carter we're talking about, king of really loud rock on Radio 1.
No chance ever.
He wouldn't write a pop song, would he? Right, if you've never heard Dan P. Carter before, this is what his show sounds like.
That's New Bleed from Within, Uprising. You know how certain songs make you want to smash stuff? That's on my Songs of 2013 that make me want to smash stuff.
Dan P. Carter off of rock. But did he write Stargirl by McFly?
I don't think he knows who they are.
No.
No, so, that's a good point. Why would...
No,
it's just
real,
not his thing at all.
No real.
No real?
No real? Let's find out.
That one is real.
No!
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
Also has written and produced a body of work for Matt Willis. Fact.
Serious?
Yeah. Wow.
How much... What do you mean a body of work?
Right? Actually, I've got some gossip about him. He is a big softie.
He
loves making cakes. I found out the other night.
Dan
P. Carter loves making cakes.
I think we've all said too much now, but he does like a cake, making them. And next.
One of Jameela Jamil's teeth once fell out live on air. Attentive listeners to the request show will have heard a distinct thunk sound as the tooth hit the desk.
Oh, no. I'm saying I can't imagine this happening. And why would her tooth come out? Do you know what I mean?
No.
I know, she's always eating fruit. You never see Jameela with biscuits.
No, so come on, so why would her teeth be falling out? So I'm saying no real.
No real.
Sure?
Yeah.
Yes.
That one is no real.
It is, yeah. But it is based on real events. That's a no real, but that did happen to Radio 1's Steve Lamack once at a Radio 1 outside broadcast in Nottingham, and it really did make the clunk sound on air as it fell out.
Seriously?
He has been known to eat biscuits and crisps. And so, next. What?
So how did that go? So his tooth fell out.
He's like Radio 1. Oh,
that's, that's the tooth?
Yeah, that's
what
happened.
The tooth gone?
Next.
Gemma Kearney loves avant-garde fashion so much, she once went on a train journey to Birmingham dressed as former Russian Premier Boris Yeltsin.
100% real.
It's getting better.
So, Gemma Kearney, she's on a train to Birmingham. She loves her fashion, out there fashion, dressed as former Russian head Boris Yeltsin.
I think real.
I'm saying easy points. No real. They're always no real.
That one is no real.
Oh, one of them's going to be real one day, though. You know that. And next.
In 1999, Sarah Cox was hypnotised as part of an audience with Paul McKenna. And to this day, feels compelled to dance the Macarena whenever she shakes hands with Scary Spice, Mel B.
Once again,
this was made up.
It's very intricate, isn't it?
It's a weird mind of the person that's done it.
Yeah. So real or no real, Sarah Cox hypnotised on an audience with Paul McKenna back in the day.
What are you saying?
Totally real.
Real? I'm saying no real.
Can't... I mean, I can imagine that, can't you?
No, I can't.
I really can.
I can.
But...
That one is no real.
Oh. Yeah. And at the end of that round of real or no real with Chris and Alice the intern.
Alice the intern scored poorly. 10 points. Oh. I got 30. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks, Alice.
No probs. Thanks for having me.
No problem. And keep looking for the radio on Twitter because we might tweet as Pete again soon based on the knowledge. I know, poor Pete. Thank you. That was Wednesday's show. Join us tomorrow on Radio 1 between 1 and 4, including Wetness with Danny Howard on Innuendo Bingo.